broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that's truth is our, you know, a bunch of stuff.
What does that mean?
Well, it means we're throwing out a lot of the slogans and throwing in a lot of slogans. Basically, truth is our bitch. How about that? And so much to enjoy and so much to be thankful for here on this, whatever the hell it is. Well, we're heading into the summer, and you got to love that, man. The summertime is going to be a beautiful thing. I just got a feeling it's going to be a nice summer. You know, around here at the El Pacifico, sometimes we get socked in by the low-hanging marine layer.
What is exactly a low-hanging marine layer and everything?
Well, it's all about the hot air hits the cold air. And then,
it's the marine layer is the hot air from the land hits the... Don't do it, bud. Don't get me confused.
No, wait. You're the hot air from the ocean.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't, but you guys are doing it on purpose. The cold air from the ocean hits the hot air from the land, and it creates a low-hanging cloud effect, which sometimes here we call June gloom. Here in California, we call it June gloom because it gets gloomy, and it's the month of June, and it shouldn't be gloomy. It should be summertime and sweet and bitchin'. And inland it is. If you go inland, generally, you know, the sun breaks out. But here on the coast, it can stay cloudy all day. And it's just a fact, or as my dear father used to say, June's always lousy. Oh, by the way, did you see those pictures?
Yes, you were such a cute little baby boy, Phil. What happened? God, what happened? God!
Oh, take it easy.
Well, what happened?
You're talking about when you're a baby.
We were looking at some pictures that I had here during the pre-show. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch us as we have about a 45-minute pre-show here on our videocast, Phil TV. And I had some pictures of myself that were sent by my cousin. And well, not just pictures of myself, but pictures of the family when I was very, very young, when I was like a baby, and when I was two or four. And I had the look on my face then that I have now, one of complete confusion, stark raving fear, and in a diaper. And
that's pretty much how you live your life now.
Exactly.
Pretty funny.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought it was funny. Good one, bud.
Thanks.
So anyway... Couple of stories here a couple of stories that have or has something, some tense, some people upset. Adam Levine is rarely thought of as a super controversial reality competition judge. He's on the TV show The Voice, especially when compared to more divisive figures such as Nicki Minaj and Simon Cowell. But things are looking a bit different this week thanks to a rather negative comment caught on mic during the top eight results shown on The Voice. What did Adam say to stir up such heated controversy? Apparently, Adam Levine is not very happy with the way America voted this week on The Voice. After the top six finalists were revealed on Tuesday night, the usually chipper judge was caught muttering, "I hate this country."
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
No.
Adam Levine, he is a sweet boy.
That, if he said that, then he better run.
Yeah, hold on for a minute, will you? Let's just hold on for a minute. Let's see, at the top, Baba, "I hate this country." Obviously, Adam had reason to be unhappy as his favorite contestants, Sarah Simmons and Judith Hill, were both eliminated. But many fans of the reality show feel that the judge's anger response was incredibly inappropriate. In the aftermath of last night's remark, Adam Levine is trying to lighten the tone, insisting that his response was supposed to be funny, not divisive. That's a stupid answer, Adam. You shouldn't have said that. And in hopes of underscoring those supposedly humorous intentions, Adam posted the definitions of words such as joke and lighthearted to his Twitter page. That is a stupid thing to do, too. Despite this explanation on Adam's part, a number of Twitter users insist that Adam Levine's "I hate this country" incident is indicative of the singer's real attitude towards his nation. Some have gone so far as to accuse him of being a commie, of a dirty, lying, stinking scum. No. What do you think?
Well, I think that's very inappropriate. However, I think in the overall, and when we're talking about the overall, Phil, you're missing the overall. You remember Hal Holbrook in All the King, or All of the President's King or something?
All the President's Men?
All the President's Men. Hal Holbrook played, if you'll pardon my language, the notorious informant, Deep Throat.
Right. He was the source for... A big source for Woodward and Bernstein.
Yes. And he said at one point, no, you're missing the overall. And that's what I think we're missing here, the overall.
What is the overall?
The overall? That's what a painter wears.
That's not funny, and you deserve to be...
Hey, watch it.
kick his ass.
I'm sorry?
Don't laugh like that, I'm telling you. So what's the overall?
The overall? You see?
No, I don't see. I don't see what the overall is. What's the overall? Adam Levine said, I hate this guy. I'll tell you what he should have said, what I think the case was, and what he should have said. I think he should have said, I meant I hate the cultural taste of this country. I hate America when it votes for crappy singers and when it's, you know, goes to crappy movies and when it makes crappy TV shows number one. That's what I hate about America. That's what he should have said. I might even agree with him. God, I hate this country when we express ourselves, our cultural preferences just suck in America. I mean, I might even agree with foreigners on that one, because as much as I love this country, I might even say, you know, America, when it comes to picking good movies and good television, and when it comes to just about anything, the rank and file of the American consumer, our taste is in our you-know-what.
Yeah, I asked.
Don't, if I don't say it, you don't say it.
Man, now I gotta dump that out, man.
No, you don't.
You don't have to dump it, but...
So you're saying that the taste of the American people is right straight up, it's you know what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That is unbelievably crass.
Oh, that's fine for me, but it's okay for you to say that, you know, that America's making all these mistakes with foreign policy and military, but I say that America's taste is in its rear end, and that's bad.
Yes, because America is the home, Phil. May I add... of Herman Melville, of Ernest Hemingway.
I know about the great American artists.
Hold on. Of Robert De Niro, of Dorothy Parker, of Nathaniel Hawthorne, of Mark Twain. And you say the American people have their taste up their thing.
Yeah, that's pretty hard, Mr. Henry.
You just named Mark Twain and all these great writers and great artists. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about them.
Then what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the taste of the American people. What the American people like to buy. What the American people like to read. What the American people like to watch. I don't think we distinguish ourselves with our taste in anything. You know, as the great anti-Semite H.L. Mencken once said...
I hate Jews.
Well, he might have said that, but he also said nobody ever went broke underestimating the taste of the American people, which is a very cynical thing. But nonetheless, it was true then, and I think it's true today. So I would never put it that way. I wouldn't be sitting there near an open mic. God, I hate this country. I suppose if you're sitting in that guy's chair night after night or week after week, and you're listening to the results of these votes, and you're watching the crowds, climb into their seats and sit down, and you may get kind of cynical, and you might start to get a bit depressed and down about these things, but I just think it's a really bad way of saying it. And I think this guy Levine, when he tweets that, oh, he was joking, and then he says, and here's the definition. Well, it's nothing, dude. Look at, man, would you people stop with this I was joking stuff? People know when you're joking, and they know when you're just trying to yank them, and nobody believes you were joking. You were angry, and you put it in a way that could have been probably put better, and you could have saved it if you would have said, you know, I don't like the way these people voted. That's what you meant.
Well, why don't you call Adam Levine up and find out what he thinks?
I don't give a damn. That's what I think he thinks. How about that?
Good. What if I get him on a show?
No, I don't care.
You could get Adam Levine on the show, and he could clarify this as best as he can.
What if I can't get him on the show?
Then you be him.
You mean we'll do as you like to hear them?
Yeah, you do as you like to hear them, then nobody be any the wiser.
All right, we'll have Adam Levine on the show next, and he'll explain why he said, I hate this country, as part of our How You'd Like to Hear Them interview series, right?
I think that's the way to go, yeah.
All right, we'll be right back with Adam Levine. As You Like to Hear Him, honest, without being coated in diaper stuffing, and we'll see what he says about tweeting, or saying, I should say, God, how I hate this country. I hate every wretched one of you. I know he didn't say that, but he's, you know, most of that. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You want to interview me, Mr. Hendry?
Yes.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We were looking at some footage there, very, very scary footage that they are still recording and still care. Look at this. This is a twister on Phil TV and HD. If you do have Phil TV and HD, you can see that there's a continuous loop that we will be running behind me of tornadoes.
What are you doing that for? You're going to scare people.
I don't know. It's...
Phil, don't do that. I think that's very...
It's probably... Well, I'm not trying to... I'm kidding.
Don't kid about something like that. It's scaring people.
It's scary, Mr. Hendry.
Well, they are scary. You should be scared of tornadoes. They're scary things.
No, you use that like a entertainment and everything. Stop it. Stop it now.
Yes, sir. God.
Well, you know, it's scaring people and everything.
Okay.
Why do you do that?
Well, when did all of you guys all of a sudden start getting tender asses around here?
You shouldn't do it.
But there might be people, man, that lost people.
I understand that. I'm not being insensitive to that.
What do you mean, tender asses?
I don't know. All of a sudden, everybody's a lightweight around here. I had the thing of the... I'm not trying to make a joke out of it. I said it was, you know, on the green screen.
Yeah, you're trying to go ahead. Wow, look at that.
Yeah, it seemed like you're being flippant.
Oh, well, I don't want to be flippant. No, I wasn't being flippant. But if you guys think it's, you know...
Well, I don't like this tender ass thing. What's that mean?
You know what it means.
No, I don't.
It means that some of you guys are getting tender asses around here. I'm trying to... Look at, you know, we're using the video cast, and we're using the green screen, and we're using these different ways of showing people news in ways that I think we should. And you guys are getting all uptight about it. That's all.
Not getting uptight. Just seeing all that tornado and everything.
Okay, fine. God. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And this is... This is a Wednesday night, and it is the whatever the date is, man. We're on our way into June, I know that. And as I was mentioning, we've got our summer months ahead of us. Okay, so we were talking about I Hate This Country, the expression uttered by Adam Levine. Adam Levine, the young judge on The Voice. We're going to have Mr. Levine on our program here in just a moment. And it's a little thing that we call As You'd Like to Hear Them. And it is an interview segment, and we'll bring in Adam Levine right now on the program to talk to us in As You'd Like to Hear Them. Adam, you know the reason why we called you up is to have you on the program and to talk about these comments.
Well, I appreciate having the opportunity, Phil, to clarify.
And Adam, where are you from?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know.
You don't know where you're from?
No, I do not. I didn't have time to look at the news story to see where I'm from.
Well, most people know where they're from.
I understand that, but I don't know where I'm from unless I look at the news story.
Phil?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
As You Like to Hear Them.
Yeah, this is As You Like to Hear Them.
Yeah, I know what this is. All right, Adam, so the judging was completed, and suddenly people are listening to you muttering the phrase, God, I hate this country. Can you give us an idea as to why you said that?
Yeah, I said it. You were very accurate, Phil, when you said that I said that as a way of expressing my disgust for the cultural tastes of this country. But because I didn't think that the truth was anything I could actually utter, I didn't think it was believable. Secondly, after I said, God, how I hate this country, and people got upset, the first thing I thought of was trying to protect myself, and I didn't think to tell the truth. It's just not anything that I usually...
Are you not a truthful man?
I'm truthful to a point, but it isn't the first thing. It's not my first option when I make a mistake. My first option, the first thing that I go to is the lie, and the reason why is because I don't really... I'm not all that convinced that the truth is believable, to be perfectly honest with you, so I didn't go there. I went to a very, very weak excuse, as you very clearly pointed out, that I was being funny.
Were you actually trying to be funny?
No, of course not.
So, in other words, when you posted or when you tweeted the definition of humor...
But that was a very ham-fisted attempt at turn the tables, I guess, on my critics, and it didn't work. It didn't work.
Are you an intelligent man?
I think I am. I think I'm intelligent to a point, but I'm not smart enough to know how to get myself out of a tight squeeze like that. It would have been pretty easy. But my taste in music is not all that great, but I don't think the taste of the American people is all that great either. So I think you really nailed it, Phil, when you said that. I was disgusted with it, and I wish that it, you know, I wish they voted a different way. As far as I'm concerned, I made a bad situation worse.
All right. Now, in making the bad situation worse, that is by saying that, God, I hate this country and I was only kidding, where does it stand today?
Well, now people think that I'm a full-on liar. So in a lot of ways, I am. I'm a liar, and I... You know, I don't think the truth would have helped me in that situation. I just don't go to the truth. I go to the lie. That's where I go, and that's where I'm comfortable. Now, when guys like you call me on it, I don't know how to... I contemplate suicide, something like that.
Well, don't kill yourself.
No, I'm not going to do that, but I don't know anything other than lying and then killing myself.
What about the truth?
I don't go to the truth as an option. How many times I got to tell you that?
Phil, he said he doesn't go to the truth.
I understand that, but how about changing your ways and becoming more truthful?
I can't. That's not in my... It's not in my programming. How many different ways I got to tell you this? I'm a liar. A liar. I lie. I lie all the time. And I lie effectively. And usually, lies are what saved me. In this instance, my lie that I was trying to be funny didn't help. Because guys like you... You know, how many different ways you want me to say it?
All right. So the end result here in terms of public relations management is what?
The end result in terms of what?
Public relations, in other words, the public's perception of you.
Well, I'm just going to let it die down.
What if it doesn't? I hate this country doesn't exactly die down.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping if it doesn't, then I'll just say to them, I love this. I'll just say I love this country, but now, you know, your response has made me hate it. I don't know what I'll do.
Like, the truth still doesn't seem to...
No, the truth is not going... I'm not going to go... If I say to them, I was actually talking about your taste in music, now I put myself at odds with the fans of the show. I put myself at odds with the live fans as well as the online fans, and I would rather keep the fans and give up the Patriot... audience, which is probably plus 50, white male, who needs them? That's the only thing that I can think of in terms of the demographic, you know, but I can't go back now and start telling the truth.
That you were just, okay. Adam, I appreciate you being on the show. I don't think you've cleared up anything.
Well, no, you haven't let me clear up anything. You know.
Go ahead, try and clear it up.
Okay, I love this country. I love this country. At the time... All right, I'll say it. At the time, I thought the people's taste in music was no good, but I love the country. You think that'll help, huh?
I think it's a lot better than saying, well, geez, you know, I was only kidding. What do you mean by kidding?
I was joking. I hate America. Ha ha, you know.
That's not funny.
No, I don't know.
Adam, this is Margaret Gray. How are you, dear?
I'm fine.
My question is simply this. Do you really need this kind of publicity? Do you even need this show?
Well, I think I do. It's a great way of keeping your name out in front. It's a great way of maybe not. I mean, if you screw up.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you screw up bad enough, your name is out front, and it's attached to something that people consider negative, and you will be considered a negative for The Voice, you know?
Well, I wish people would understand that you got to do these shows to keep your career floating. It's a grind. It's a gruel. A lot of the music is terrible. A lot of the fans are stupid. I do the best I can with what I got. Something slipped out. I'm sorry. Stuff slips out on people all the time. Imagine a guy walking, you know, some of these guys in the subway, you talk about something slipping out, and half the time cops don't even see it. But me, I get crucified.
Well, the guy on the subway, something's slipping out. He ought to be arrested.
But he's not. That's the point. So if some guy can stand there on a subway platform and he's got it hanging out at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I say, I hate God, how I hate this country, and it's the same thing as, you know, pulling it out, which, no, it wasn't. My way was like I forgot to zip up. That guy...
I understand what you're saying. You're getting crucified. You're being unfairly targeted when there are people doing much worse things.
I feel so, yeah.
But when you say, God, I hate this country, I think more people are in sympathy with the man on the platform at 8 o'clock in the morning that's pulling his penis out of his pants
Than me?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. So in other words, a guy that pulls out his thing is more, and people are, have more sympathy for him than me.
That's probably right.
Yes, I think so.
Well, I think that's absolute hypocrisy, and that, okay, now I'm going to say it. That's why I hate this country.
Well, you just, you see, so you haven't made anything better.
I don't care. I hate it. A guy pulls out his genitals, and he is looked upon with sympathy, and people want to nail me up on a 2x4? My ass. I hate this.
Thank you. We'll be back.
And I...
Phil and online at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com is where we have thousands and thousands of hours of audio. We have as well our video archives that go back to the fall. You know, we haven't really carried a whole lot of video in our archives up to this point, but we are starting now to carry our daily video in an archive, as well as a year's worth of our video archives from our Saturday night show here in Los Angeles back in 2012, 2011, I think, and I can't remember exactly. Yeah, it was 2011, 2012, and just all kinds of other goodies, miscellany. We have radio interviews, television interviews, TV pilots that we've done, and so forth. So it's worth it. It's worth it in I was going to say in spades. Is that...
Bobby can't say that.
Yeah, you can, man. It doesn't mean a racial.
Yeah, it's like in spades, meaning when you're playing the game of spades. So we've got it in spades. Just check it out. PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. Well worth it. Get a backstage pass. And don't forget that we're looking at the mobile site. We're going to be rolling out our mobile site very, very soon. Let's go to Lancaster. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Now, listen, I wanted to comment on you were talking about the tornadoes in the middle West there in Tornado Alley. And I come originally from Texas. I'm from the San Antonio, Texas area. When I had come to California, and you were mentioning the beaches, the public beaches, I had gone. I've never had a problem getting out on a beach.
Have you gone to Malibu?
Where's that, sir?
Have you gone up to Malibu? Have you tried to get on a beach there?
Well, I'm not really. The lady that you were talking about, the lady who had been testing the law to find out she could get on a beach. I've never, you know, I'm not trying to cause a confrontation. I'm just saying I've been on the public beaches, and I've never had a problem being on a public beach.
Okay.
But going out, when they've had a recent storm surge, especially in the springtime, I don't know if you've ever been out there. And if anybody listening in your audience has been out there, you talk about the tornadoes in the Middle West. Or you know, and I've seen those, and those are very, very frightening. There's no question. But I don't know if you've gone out, because I had not. Experiences, a friend of mine said to me, you can look about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you head out into the surf swell here on the coast of California, and you used the term, as you were describing the Russian hockey team, I think you used the term, or somebody used the term, the devil incarnate.
Yeah, Ted Bell did.
I'm sorry?
Mr. Bell did?
Yeah, he said that the Russian, I will tell you that you have not lived in hell, until you have been out into that storm surge and you lose your footing, and suddenly you're underwater, my friend. Now, I'm not saying that it's the same as the tornadoes in Oklahoma, but I'm going to tell you something. When you lose your footing, you're underwater, you are being turned and turned in a barrel. It's almost as if you're in a barrel that you can't get out of. It's a barrel that's made out of water, and it is rolling you around and rolling you around. And you pray. You begin a prayer, a fervent and frightened prayer to any god. And at that point, it doesn't matter which god. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, and I would certainly love your opinion. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, if you could hold on for a minute, Austin, because there's not a lot to say.
Have you had that? I imagine you've had the experience, haven't lived here.
I've gone, if you're talking about going body surfing and you suddenly, you know, you lose it and you are being, you know, somersaulted in the water and you're underwater, of course. That's happened to me.
All right, have you ever found yourself, have you ever found yourself having a hard time getting air?
Of course. You know, there's times when you're like, boy, I sure like to get out of this. I don't think I've ever been in a panic.
Well, I don't think you, then you're not, you don't know what I'm talking about. You have been.
Well, if you asked me, have I been, you know, tossed and turned under a wave? Yes. And have I taken a while to come up for air? Sometimes it feels that way, but I don't think I've ever been in a panic where, oh my God, I'm going to drown.
Well, I don't think you know what I mean. I'm talking about you go out there and you see these waves.
How big are the waves you're talking about?
They can be about 3 foot, 4 foot.
Well,
what's that mean, Will?
I mean, it's not, you know, okay, so they're good size. I mean, for somebody out there that's just swimming.
You're trying to make it sound like that's no big deal. I think you need to be in that stuff before you can comment.
I think I have been. I think I've been trying to tell you that.
Well, no, you have not. I'm talking about I went out, and my son said to me, come on, Dad, let's, you know, go out and swim and try to body surf one. I tried to take it. If I fell down, well, I don't think you know.
Yeah, I think I do, and I think that...
Let me ask you this, Mr. Henry. Have you ever prayed, and at that moment of prayer, have you ever not cared whether it's to a God that you were taught or to some other God?
Have I ever prayed to a God that I didn't know about?
In other words, have you ever asked any God? It could be a Native American. What happened to me, and the point I'm trying to make here, is that when I got upset in that water and I began to feel myself being tossed about, I prayed, I said, I don't care if it's the Indian, if it's a Native American, if it's the Great Spirit, I don't care. Get me out. Please get me out of this.
No, I don't think I've ever had the time. If I'm in a panic, I'm not going to go, any God, you know, I probably just sort of do some Buddhist thing because that's where I'm coming from.
Well, all right, so there you go. You prayed a Buddha. Now, who would ever, well, if that's what you believe?
Yeah, that's kind of where my head's at.
Well, if I was praying to Buddha, that would show you, and I think I did, when I got caught in what I call, that's like a barrel of water. And when I got caught in it, when I went out with my son to go surfing on the body, surf body or body surf, however you say it, I remember praying to, and I'd never even heard of any Hindu. I prayed to the Hindu. And I don't know of a Hindu God, but I prayed to it because that's how panicked I was.
All right, so you're saying, Austin, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're saying you were so frightened that you cast about for any God to pray to.
Well, yes, ma'am, because what's happening is you get so scared you forget. All you do is say, is there any God that hears me right now? Maybe the Christian God couldn't care less if I drown and they never find my body. But maybe the Hindu God... You see, I know that's not very Christian of me to say that.
I don't think God works that way. I don't think that there's separate gods, you know.
Well, a lot of people say that, but I swear I was out there in the waves, and I know that I have, I'm going to be very honest with you, Mr. Henry. I have, if you pardon my language, ma'am, and to the people listening, Mr. Henry, I have fornicated. I have stolen. I've cursed. I have smoked. And I will say it now. I have smoked marijuana.
Okay.
And when you do that in your life, you pretty much figure the Christian God has told you, you go straight to hell. I'm not even going to deal with you. And when I was being tossed around in the waves, and I knew that the Christian God would have nothing to do with me.
Well, you don't know that for a fact.
Well, I'm not going to take my chances, ma'am. If I'm knocking on heaven's doors, as the song says, I ain't going to say, hey, God, will you? Well, now, hell, he ain't going to help me. I'm not going to waste my time. So that's when you go to, you know, I know I'm not a Hindu, but if there's a Hindu God, you know, help me. If you're a Buddhism, I don't know, if you're Muhammad, because at that point I figured the Christian God had just told me to rot.
And just go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we're getting into a conversation here about theology and religion, and I think what you were asking me is, had I ever been in a storm surge of waves where I felt I was going to drown? No. You seem to compare it to the devil.
Yeah, well, Mr. Henry, the way you're saying it, like you're blowing me off like I'm some kind of a weird ass.
Well, Phil does that a lot, Austin, but I think what you're saying...
Yeah, I know, I've heard him do it.
Well, yeah, but I think what you're saying is you've gotten away from...
Hold on, Fred, what do you mean Phil does that a lot?
Oh, Phil, just wait. You've gotten away from the whole idea of the waves being like hell on earth, and now you feel the Christian God has abandoned you.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, but that's what he's saying.
Wait a minute. This has got no point to it, what we're talking about.
What are you talking about?
I mean, the thing you're talking about means nothing. You called up to ask me, had I ever been body surfing? Yes. Have you ever gotten caught in the waves? Yes. Have you ever felt like you were going to drown? I've felt that I've been underwater a long time, but not drowned. No. Has it ever felt like you're in hell? No. Now you're going off and telling me about how you've been in such a terrible way in these waves that you thought the Christian God abandoned you and you're praying to a Hindu.
Thank you very much.
Oh, what? The guy's hanging up.
Well, Phil, you're laughing at the man.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, he was scared, too.
I got to go with him on that, Phil.
Wait a second. I'm not allowed to laugh at that?
Well, Phil, the man was frightened, and you're ha 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 ha.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. To me, that's the funniest thing I've heard in at least 3 days. This guy is drowning, but his life has been so bad, he's not even going to try praying to the Christian God. He's going straight to the Hindu God.
You see? Look at the look on his face.
Yeah, see, you're all going, hee-hee-hee. You're laughing, Mr. Henry. You're laughing, and there's a man crying on the inside and laughing on the outside.
Yeah.
That man is crying on the outside and laughing on the inside, Phil.
What?
Don't go, huh? That man is laughing on the outside and crying on the inside.
No, he's not doing that either.
I mean, he's crying on the outside and he's crying... That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, crying on the inside and crying outside.
He's crying on the inside and he's crying outside.
Yeah.
So when he walks outside, he starts crying.
No! He's crying on the outside and crying on the inside.
So he's crying?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Amarka, that you're crying. I'm sorry that I didn't mean to laugh at you, sir. But you're not going to get me to... forget it, man. I've never said, I better give up on the Christian God. I'm drowning. I better go for a Buddhist or some kind of... maybe even become Muslim. I don't, you know... We'll be right back.
When you act arrogant like that, it doesn't win you friends.
I'm not being arrogant. I'm listening to what the guy says. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Chicago Blackhawks, I think, won their series. Forgive me. I guess we need to get some sports up here, bud. But I know the Blackhawks won because I'm just following some of my friends who are Chicago folk, and everybody was.
I saw that Marley, the lovely little actress, the little hearing impaired girl.
Marley Maitland, yes, she's a Blackhawk fan. Steve Dahl, some of the folks from the Chicago area were tweeting that the. Blackhawks won, so I don't know what are we talking about here, man? Is it now the finals?
Yeah, I think it's the conference finals of the National Hockey, or whatever, I guess.
The National Hockey League? What is it with you guys, man?
Well, man, nobody knows about hockey. Nobody cares about hockey.
There are a lot of people care about hockey that live in hockey towns. God, give it up, man. Give up this whole hockey, you know, anti-hockey thing, okay? The fact of the matter is that there's a lot of people that dig it, and even out here in California, you know, there's hockey fans. They're not the same kind of hockey fans. They're not, I don't know what you would call them. They're not a very educated group. One of the reasons why there's a lot of hockey in L.A. Is because we've got a hell of a lot of Canadians. One of the things that got hockey going in Los Angeles was the number of Canadians that live in Los Angeles. We've got a lot of everybody, but particularly Canadians. And we had a minor league team here. We got the Kings, and then came the Ducks. And I never in a million years would have told you that this was a two-hockey team town, but I guess it is. We ain't got any football team, man, but we got two hockey teams. We almost had three basketball teams, which would be a... Ain't that a first?
What do you mean, ain't that a first? What are you talking about?
Isn't that a first? Wouldn't that... I don't think there isn't a metropolis in America with three basketball teams.
Yeah, it is New York.
Yeah, what about New York?
New York's got two basketball teams. Two. Brooklyn and...
What about the Islanders?
That's hockey, man.
Those are hockey teams.
The Islanders and the Nets.
No, you idiot. No.
Don't call him an idiot, Phil.
You're an idiot. What do you mean the Islanders?
What's the Islander?
That's a hockey team. The Rangers, the Islanders, and the Devils. The New Jersey Devils, okay?
Well.
Those are hockey. Don't give me the well. That's what hockey teams. So those are three hockey teams.
That's the same. Well.
Is that three basketball teams? I don't know. Gee, it call me crazy, but I don't think it's a basketball team. I think it's a hockey team.
He's trying to say, Phil, that they've got three basketball teams, even though they're not.
Yeah, but the hockey teams are... How do I say it so you'll understand?
Oh, well, just go real slow, because I know I'm kind of a dim bulb.
No, but I mean, I know what Bud's trying to say. A hockey team and a basketball team, there's no difference, really. I mean, there is a difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Two completely different sports. Why? Do they play in the same time of year? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's not saying that. He's saying that what is that?
It's a 119-year-old man.
119? Good God in heaven.
Yeah, the last 19th century man. That's very interesting. Okay, look, I don't want to belabor the point, bud. There's only three hockey teams in New York. There's not three basketball teams. There's not even three basketball teams in L.A. There almost was three basketball teams.
What do you mean?
Because they almost moved the Kings down here, I thought, didn't they?
No, that was never serious, no. My sources tell me they were going to San Diego if they were going anywhere.
All right. Anyway, that guy that you saw was the last 19th century man alive in the United States. Now, it used to be, you know, when I was growing up, there were all kinds of folks that were born in the 19th century. And, of course, as we got more and more along in years and more along in the last century on into the next century, then, you know, folks born in the 19th century become much rarer. And this chap was 119 years old. I'm trying to find the story now. But the guy was 119 years of age, and he just passed on, and he didn't look too good either.
Well, how do you think he's going to look, Phil, at 119?
I'd think that they'd take better care of him.
They took good care of him. He was old. 119? There he is. The last living 19th century man likely has genes. Oh, he's still alive.
If you call that living, I mean, look.
Don't be. Jerome Kimura, the oldest living man celebrated, is the oldest living man on Earth. Dig that.
Where is that?
I don't know. Is he Japanese? The name is Jerome Kimura, the oldest living man, celebrated his 116th birthday this past Friday. Born in 1897, Kimura is the last man alive born in the 19th century, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. The resident, yeah, he's Japanese, the resident of Kyantango, Japan, is also the oldest man. The oldest man in verified history. Now, what does that mean?
And that proves once again on an atom bomb.
What did you say?
That proves the atom bomb. It might have done some good.
Oh, get out of here. The atom bomb did good.
How do you know that the radiation didn't keep him alive?
Would you guys get off your Godzilla kick, okay? The radiation, if it did anything in Japan, was something that hurt people. It hurt them. It killed people.
And yet you still believe that that bomb should have been dropped.
Yes, and I'm not going to debate it anymore with you, Margaret. No. I'm not debating it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. Every year comes August and everybody wants to debate the Hiroshima bomb. I'm not debating it anymore. It was absolutely the right call, and that's the end of that.
Well, okay, Daddy, if you say so.
I'm not going to keep debating this bullcrap with you. I go over it every year with you, the same thing. And you go with the same, oh, the lives that were lost. And I keep telling you, the lives that would have been lost with an invasion. I'm telling you, the Japanese were ruled by a warrior caste, and they would have sacrificed every single human being in that nation to keep the American forces from invading. They would have killed every last man, woman, and child in that country to save the honor of the emperor. That's what was going on back then. The A-bomb was the right thing to do.
So I don't get to comment.
No, you don't, because we've debated this every year.
No, no, he's right, Ms. Ray. And Phil always kicks your ass.
He did. The day he kicks my ass is the day I commit suicide, so forget it.
Well, choose your weapons. Uh-oh.
Yep. Kill him.
Hold on. I told you not to laugh like that, didn't I? Take a time out.
What? That's something a little tiny kid does.
Take a time out.
That's a jip.
Ha ha ha.
See, she gets to laugh.
Knock it off, Margaret. So, see, if you guys hadn't brought up this bullcrap about the atom bomb made the guy live longer, should Kamara be interested, there are plenty lovely ladies in his age group to choose from. The gerontology research group at UCLA lists 21 women born before New Year's Day in 1901 who are still alive and well. Oh, so they're calling 1900 the 19th century, huh?
Oh, I see, yeah.
All right, we're going to be back next hour, get more into the Gerontology Society, who's the oldest living guy. We also have a mammoth that was found frozen in the wastes of Russia, and there was blood in it, so get a load of that for cloning purposes, and some other really weird, far-out, just kooky, kooky stuff. This island in Alaska with a deserted village that they found, 50 years deserted. We'll be back, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.